You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenn the Geek.
And I am Allison Rinborg, coming to you from the Horse Radio Network booth 207 at Equine Affair in Ohio.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April the 12th, episode 3407. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
Good morning, Horse World.
It's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, we're here. We're at Equine Affair. We're set up in booth number 207 if you want to stop by and say hi. And I met a bunch of listeners already yesterday, which was kind of fun. We're going to be doing three special episodes this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So, yes, you get bonus. We don't normally do Saturday and Sunday, but we are this weekend. And we have a bunch of guests planned for you today and tomorrow and Sunday. We try and put as many guests in as we can, keep them relatively short. I call it Twitter style. You know, we do them in rapid fire because we want you to meet and kind of get the flavor of what it's like to be here.
Yeah, it's really, you walk through and you see people on every side of you, and you're kind of like, ooh, squirrel, shiny, when you're here at Equine Affair. So that's what we're trying to bring to you through our episodes of like quick little, well, you said Twitter, but it's X now.
X
style.
Yeah, that's right.
Which sounds wrong.
Which sounds wrong, right, exactly. Exactly. So we are here. We'd love to meet you. If you see me at the booth, please do say hi. Allison, of course, is co-hosting. She is the normal co-host of the Equine Affair episodes every single month. And of course, your job here is social media. You're running the social media side of things.
Social media, marketing coordination, video production, video editing, all the things.
She runs around like crazy. Yesterday, I saw you, it was pouring down rain almost all day yesterday. Welcome to Ohio. And you did get out and do some videos. I saw the draft percherons going by.
Yes, yeah. The percheron ASMR, I called it, because you heard the clip-clops and the jangles.
There's nothing like that either for draft horses.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
What else did you get to see and do yesterday?
I got to meet some really pretty sweet ponies in the breed pavilion. I got to do some nose boops. I met an amazing paint horse named Mo in the breed pavilion, and his mama uses him for therapy for law enforcement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she calls it Memories with Mo. So Mo was really sweet. He's a very loud red dun Overo, I want to say. So definitely go meet Mo in the breed pavilion if you're here. And then I also got to meet a very sweet standard bred, which I've never met a non-sweet standard bred.
Yeah, they're all pretty laid back.
They're kind of like golden retrievers
in
horse
form. Good analogy, actually.
And while I was over there meeting the standee, if you're here, you should go do the virtual reality setup that they have in the USTA booth. They've got this thing where you put on a virtual reality headset and you sit in a cart.
Oh, that's cool.
And
try that.
Yes. And I'll take a picture of you doing
it. I have to try that.
It's amazing. And you can feel like you're in a cart going.
I've always wanted to do that. I'm a carriage driver, and I always wanted to do that.
It's fabulous. They've brought that back a few different times, and like we're always so excited when we see it. So that's over in the Voinovich building.
Oh, good. Well, I'll check that out today.
Yeah.
I really didn't get out of this building yesterday. I was in here all day yesterday. And
I don't blame you because it was raining. I was soaking wet. So when you saw me, I was probably soaking wet.
I'm going to do that today. I'll get a bunch of interviews for tomorrow and Sunday shows from the horse pavilions over there, because there's all kinds of cool people over there. I got to talk to the Percheron people.
Yes.
I got to do that. So I'll be over there tomorrow. I wanted to thank, before we get to our first guest today, and as I said, we have a lot of them lined up for you. Wanted to thank Julie Stoltz, who's one of our terrific listeners and auditors, for setting up the listener meetup last night at the Cheesecake Factory. That was a lot of fun. We did all eat cheesecake, or half our cheesecake, because you can't eat everything at Cheesecake Factory.
I'm really jealous.
I have that saved for tonight, to the other half. But thank you to Julie. She also brought some gifts for Jennifer and I.
Aww.
She brought some ornaments that had Nigel and a picture of Nigel on them. Aww. And she had Scooter on there, too. So thank you to Julie. She always is so nice to us when we come to Equine Affair every year. She's always the first one I see. She's always here first thing in the morning at the booth.
Aww.
So we really do appreciate Julie. All right. Our first guest is here. Why don't you introduce her?
Yes. So this is Christy May Treehorn. We just learned how to pronounce her last name, Treehorn. And so some of you listeners might remember we interviewed her husband, Dave, I want to say just last month. And Dave talked you up. he said lots of really nice things. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. And he made you sound more exciting than he ever will be.
Yeah.
So.
Seriously.
At least it wasn't anything bad.
No, it was all good things. He really wanted, he talked you up so much that we wanted you on the show. So we got you live.
Well, we're glad to be here this weekend.
So tell us a little bit about what you do for our listeners who didn't hear Dave gush about you. What do you do?
Okay, yeah. So we're over in Negley, Ohio at Treehorn's Training Center. On the daily basis, we ride young horses, we ride colts, we have barrel horses, rope horses, all sorts of different stuff in. We do training programs, we give all sorts of lessons, we host shows, clinics, you name it, and we kind of do it over there.
If I remember right, we all were amazed by how many horses you have on the property, and he didn't know exactly.
Right.
Do you have any idea?
There's usually between 150 to 200 horses there all of the time. There's a lot of thoroughbreds in and out.
How do you keep track of that many horses?
We have a lot of full care boarders, but there's also self-care barns. So in the wintertime, there's some more thoroughbreds because not everybody's racing at the tracks, but towards the spring and the summer, a lot of those go back to the racetracks.
Do you have a business manager that just keeps track of all the billing and stuff?
I mean, it must be
a nightmare.
Yes. Thank goodness we have Steph at home, and she takes care of all sorts of that stuff for us.
You
the
couldn't
social
do it
media
without.
And that type of
you
stuff,
You know, we
too.
Think about, you know, big trainers like yourself.
Yep.
You think about them working with the horses and stuff, but the business side sucks up so much time.
Oh, it takes a whole team of us for sure.
Yeah.
And shout out to Stephanie. She's the one who got Dave on the show.
Yes.
And then also set you up
yep.
for me. So I love Stephanie.
She's couldn't do it without her. That's for sure.
She's my girl. So thanks, Stephanie, if you're listening.
Did you marry into that whole thing?
For the most part. I grew up doing sort of the same thing. We did a lot of the team pending and sorting, but we always had horses in and out. We had a small boarding facility and lessons and things, but not at the scale that we do now.
Okay. How'd you two meet?
Just riding horses.
Yeah?
Yeah. We've kind of done the same things, and I used to go down there and ride a lot and do stuff, and I just ended up staying there.
You stayed, yeah.
Yep.
Just didn't leave.
Just didn't leave.
Like, no.
Exactly.
No question. You're not getting rid of me
yep.
now. Yeah.
And you have a little boy.
We do.
Who was really sad.
Yep. And then we have another one on the way. So there'll be another one running around.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is your little one into horses already?
He loves all the animals, especially the cows. Anything to do with cows, he is involved. Four-wheelers, cows.
Now, do you just have the cows to do cow work, or do you have cows also as part of the operation?
We, for the most part, we use them for the breakaway roping, the team roping, and the sortings and things like that. We don't keep a whole bunch of extras around. Between 50 and 100 normally is what we have on the property.
That's still a lot of cows.
Yeah,
that's a lot of cows.
More than we need.
Well, you can't say that about horses, but you can say that about cows.
Right?
More than we need. So Dave's here to do Cowtown,
yep.
But you were here and you did barrel racing clinics yesterday, right?
I sure did.
So talk a little bit about your barrel racing clinics. What was everything you were covering?
So we started in the morning. It was supposed to be more of like a beginner-based clinic for the most part. So we worked on setting your horses up to get the correct approach, the correct turns, how I like them to all go around the barrels. And then we kind of worked a little further. We went a little bit faster, did some different drills and things that the girls could work on at home to improve what they kind of had going on from the morning.
I think you understand this. You're a coach and a trainer. What's the light bulb moment for every new barrel racer that it, you know, that light bulb comes on
for
and they
sure.
finally get it? Is it the same for almost everyone you bring through?
I don't know. Honestly, until you feel how it's supposed to be, it's a little bit of a struggle. But once you actually feel it, like feel what we're talking about, and it makes you really understand it. And it's hard to explain because it's different for everybody and different for every horse. But once you actually get it correct a couple times in a row, then it's like, oh, that makes so much more sense.
Is that easier on a horse that is good that, as opposed
Absolutely.
To training up your own to get that feeling, that
yes.
initial feeling?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And so you're busy. You've got horses, you've got cows, you've got a 1.5-year-old, you're pregnant.
Yes.
How do you keep it all straight?
Well, we talked about Steph earlier, but she comes in almost every day. She comes okay. and babysits and does all sorts of stuff for us. But Dave and I work together at the barn. Right now he's riding most of the colts, so I don't get bucked off or anything. Yeah. And we kind of just go from there. We start early most days and don't get to the house till 9, 10, 11 o'clock. And
my guess is, Christy, you rode to 8 months the last time.
I think I rode the day before I had him last time.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Not much, but a little bit.
That was
bit.
My guess.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
it's a little different this
yeah,
time, but we're still going.
She's not listening to the doctor at all.
No, not really. No. We're too busy for all that.
Oh, gosh.
So what's the highlight? What's when you wake up in the morning, what is the thing that if you get to do it that day, you go, okay, this is my highlight every day when I get to do
geez,
it?
Geez, I don't even know. What we really like, it's not the same every day. We go down to the barn. Sometimes Tucker goes down there with us. We feed horses in the morning. Steph will come in and hang out with him. But it's something different every day. You know, those babies that we're riding and the horses that we're working with, we see improvements on them. That's always exciting. Some days it's not an improvement at all and you want to chop their heads off at the end of the day, but you know, you keep working and hopefully before they go home you enjoy riding that horse. So just seeing those little improvements.
And is it a comfort then to get on your horse and just hack or just be lazy?
So honestly, we don't have a whole bunch of our horses right now.
Really?
We've
yeah.
been selling everything.
Yeah.
And not because we want to, but everybody shows up and they're like, oh, you know, we're looking for something and we happen
well,
to have something
that fits
them.
Well, it's also how you pay the bills. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So right now we've got two horses that we have that we compete on and ride that are our own. And otherwise we're riding clients' horses or training horses or whatever. And that's what we've been competing on lately a little bit. So it's a little bit more of a struggle, but we have a bunch of young ones coming up that we're hoping to get back into the program, and hopefully those will be the next ones that we get to keep for a little while.
Were your parents into horses?
Yes. So growing up, my dad always did the penning and the sorting events. So we went all over and we competed in that nationally and regionally and all that type of stuff. I always did the barrel racing and I rode English, and we drove draft horses. We did all sorts of everything growing up, but mainly we were into the penning and the sorting.
Are they proud of you now?
Yes, I think so. And they're both actually down here. My dad's over with all the Percherons. He has his draft horses here and is giving carriage rides
and
stuff.
That's right. Your dad is John May, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yep.
I got to
so
talk to him.
Here. You've got to talk to John.
I owned Percherons for a long
okay.
time, so I love Percherons.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to get
yep.
over and talk to him.
Yep. So he's here. Sam and Kelly are down here. I used to go and take lessons driving with them when I was younger because I showed draft horses in 4-H and things. So we've kind of been around and done quite a bit of different stuff in the equine industry, and now we mainly run barrels and rope.
Yay.
That's awesome. A multi-talented equestrian family
yes.
in every generation.
Yes.
And do you like driving?
I liked it when we were growing up, and I'll go and drive occasionally here and there for him, but I don't love it like
yeah,
he does.
It's funny. Some riders just...
Yep.
And it's amazing how many riders it scares them to death to
drive. See, it doesn't scare me, but I mean, well,
yeah.
I'll do it and I'll go and help, but I don't love to go give those rides all day long like they do. So.
Yeah, I was here, I think it was Wednesday when John got here with
okay,
the Percheron,
yep.
with the Percheron team. And he was walking them past, and I was talking to Sam and Kelly with their Percherons. And I thought, is it in my imagination or are John May's Percherons bigger around than the Redingers?
And
she,
well fed.
She said, actually, yes, that there are two kind of types of Percheron horses.
Right,
this
yep.
was news to me.
Yep.
That Sam and Kelly sort of have the newer, it's funny to say lean, but like the lean, tall Percherons.
Right, yes.
But John May's Percherons are the big
Are the
bulldogs.
Big ones kind of old school, and then the lean ones are newer?
Yes. So okay, Sam yes. and Kelly, they have more of like the newer style, like you mm-hmm. said, but they do more of the show type things, and theirs look a little bit classier and fancier. What my dad does, he mainly uses his for wagon rides and around the farm. The one that he has down here with him this weekend, His Uncle John actually bought from us, and he's going to start using it to pull a little bit.
I was so going to say, did you guys ever do any pulling?
Yeah. My uncle did. So we have never gotten into that, but that's something that he's done for quite a while.
I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, so we knew all about pulling.
Okay, yep. So his are a little bit wider and stockier, and his have much more muscle than even my dad's.
Yeah, they don't really want the tall ones for pulling either, do they?
Right,
they
something stout legs. And wide. Yeah. And his are pretty big, but they're stout for sure.
You know what? I think I was previously one of the old school Percherons who pulled. That's what I'm good at. I'm stout, okay? I'm just stout. I'm not curvy. I'm stout, and I was supposed to pull, okay? I'm an old school Percheron. All right. That's what I'm going to tell myself from now on.
Christy, where can people find you guys?
Well, we'll be over at Cowtown and Cooper all day today, on and off with the roping clinics going on. And then tomorrow we'll probably be over there or over at our stalls, because they're going to be using our cattle for all of the clinics in there tomorrow as
well. And is there a website?
Treehorns Training Center. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and I think that there is a website.
Okay, I'll
Steph's
put a link.
In charge of that, but it is a thing.
I found your Facebook page. Okay, I'll definitely put a link to it. Did I also see they're having a human Olympics this afternoon?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like hay throwing and all that kind of stuff.
The Great Equestrian Fitness Challenge.
There you go.
You got to check that out.
Yeah, I'm not signing up.
No, but you can watch it.
I want to watch that. That'll be funny. That'll be funny. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. More and more horse owners are managing older horses. One of the best ways to care for the senior horse in your life is by prioritizing their digestive tract health. Older horses are less able to maintain a well-balanced microbiome and repair and replace damaged tissues. This can lead to an uptick in ulcers, colic, or free fecal water syndrome. Poor gastrointestinal health decreases the horse's ability to digest and absorb adequate nutrients. It also impacts the effectiveness of the immune system, leaving older horses less able to fight off diseases such as EPM. Adding a research-proven digestive supplement to your older horse's diet can help maintain a healthy GI tract and reduce the incidence of digestive issues. We recommend ProbioticWise to our customers with senior and geriatric horses. ProbioticWise contains the true probiotic Saccharomyces boulardii. Unlike other yeast-based probiotics, S. boulardii remains viable through the acid environment in the stomach. It supports the healing of damaged tissues, reduced inflammation, and the optimal digestion and absorption of nutrients. Furthermore, ProbioticWise contains fermentation metabolites that support a well-balanced microbiome. ProbioticWise is sold through your veterinarian, so ask your vet if ProbioticWise is right for your older horse. You can learn more about ProbioticWise at kppvet.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
So next up, we have Kelly Cosby. She is an incredible equine photographer. She's here with a booth, KMC Online Gallery. So hi, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's so good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Tell us where you're from, Kelly.
I live in Missouri, state capital, Jefferson City.
Awesome. So how'd you get into photographing?
That's the state capital that everybody gets wrong when they're in high school, because nobody remembers that.
Right, because it's right. Tiny.
Yeah, nobody remembers it. That's funny.
How'd you get into photographing horses?
I have always photographed, even when I was little, started out with my own horses and then, you know, gradually moved on to my friends. And then that went into any horse that I could find, I would take a picture of. And now I actively seek out horses to find to take a picture of.
And so one of the things that you photograph every year is the Chincoteague ponies, right?
Correct. We've gone for the last 14 years.
And so what do you love about that? Why do you go every year for 14 years?
It's a very small island community, and the people are very warm and friendly. And then I grew up with the Misty of Chincoteague books. Mm-hmm. So it was a childhood experience that I wanted to do. So we decided we would go one time, and that one time has led to 14. and we're scheduled to go again this year.
It's kind of like a potato chip experience. You can't do just one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. You told us a story before we started. Tell us the story. Was this last year this happened?
Yes.
Oh, tell us a story.
So my sisters are handicapped, so they can't walk the beach. And they always wanted to see the beach walk, which is where they're leading the ponies from the corrals down the beach to the swim. And so I talked to a friend that was a captain. I said, is there any way that we can go out on a boat so my sisters can see this? So he was like, it's crazy. Nobody's ever done it before, but we'll give it a shot. So we've done it for 3 years now. Last year we were out on the ocean side. So we're shooting at the horses as they're walking along the beach, which is a unique perspective. Most people don't get that opportunity. So we're very grateful for that. But last year while we were watching, a shark actually jumped out of the water. It was hunting, and it actually breached out of the water to catch the fish. And it was right by our boat. And the people on the beach, the shark was big enough that people on the beach could see it. And they thought it was trying to jump in our boat.
You probably thought it was trying to jump in your boat.
It was a cool experience because then it swam under the boat and around the boat because it was chasing fish.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was pretty cool.
Oh, you didn't get that in your picture, did you?
I did not get a picture.
Oh, too bad.
I love sharks. Like, it's kind of my secret side obsession. I love shark movies. I love sharks. And so anything about sharks. And so this is, like, the perfect story for me because it's like, oh, boy, sharks and horses and cameras.
Well, it was funny because we had been, you know, that time of the year, it was Shark Week.
Oh, wow.
Perfect. We had been in the hotels working on pictures after we'd done our pony stuff, watching Shark Week all week.
Oh, my gosh.
So it wasn't Mary Lee. The year that Mary Lee was going around Chincoteague, we kept telling our boat captains they needed to find her for us. But they did find us a shark.
And that's the great white who's tagged, right?
Yep.
I think she has a Twitter.
She did. She was like one of the first ones they tagged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that she's still tagged.
Yeah, I used to follow her on Twitter because whoever ran her Twitter feed was amazing. Mary Lee, the great white shark.
Yep.
So the funny thing about Shark Week is every year my family would go on a week-long beach trip to Gulf Shores, and we would stay in a teeny tiny little cheap hotel back in the 90s, and that was the only way we could afford it. And it was always Shark Week. So me being a little kid, my dad's got Shark Week on. Then we go out to the beach, and he's like, yeah, come on into the water. Everything's fine. And I'm like, no, Daddy, there's sharks out there. And, like, when you're little, you think Dad can protect you from anything. So I'd be like, okay. So he would, like, take me out into the neck-deep water. But, like, yeah, what was he thinking? Watch Shark Week in the morning, then take your little five-year-old out into the ocean. Like, she's really going to do that. But
I had a similar experience. I was raised in Florida. We had a house on the bayou, which was off just a finger off of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I can remember being little and just loving it when the dolphins came in. They would swim around right by our house, and I just loved it. Then I got a little bit older, and I realized wherever a dolphin can go, a shark can go.
Yes.
And it wasn't quite as cool then.
No.
So besides Chincoteague ponies, what's been your favorite shoot you've ever done?
I actually really love taking pictures of baby horses. We bred quarter horses for many years, and I still go out to a friend who has stallions, and I take all their pictures for their advertising.
Awesome.
Really love to do that. We've been to Rolex. Excuse me. I think it's Defender this year.
We don't know what to call it anymore, so we call it Rolex Land Rover Defender Kentucky.
Yeah.
We've just added all the names
together.
Now, yeah.
I've been going for many years, so it's going to be Rolex for me forever.
Are you impressed there? You get to shoot?
No, I've never gotten a press pass.
Oh.
My husband actually works for Purina.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
But he's on the cattle side. And this year, I'm not going to Rolex. And they said, oh, we have a pass if you want to come. So, but I love to go to Rolex and try and get the event horses. One of the things I would love to do, and I haven't had the opportunity yet, is driving.
Yeah.
I would like to go to the driving events.
You have to
so
come down to Live Oak down my way sometime.
I missed it.
In Ocala.
I missed it by one day a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's the driving event of the year. Yeah,
it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, it is cool. You can get some great shots there.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You've also shot thoroughbred racing, right?
We've gone to the races and just played with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had any access, but I love to get up. We will go when we go down to Rolex Defender Land Rover Kentucky.
Yay! We'll train everybody yet.
It's trending!
we'll go down and go to Keeneland for morning workouts.
Yeah.
I love doing that.
You have a beautiful shot in your booth. So if you're here at Equine Affair, go see Kelly's booth in the Bricker. You have a beautiful shot of like multiple thoroughbreds right crossing, and like you just see a forest of legs like extending as far back as you can see. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, that was, we actually took that in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Nice.
So
what's the booth number? Do you know?
929.
And do you have a website, of course?
I do. It's kmconlinegallery.com.
And the stuff that's here can also be bought online?
Yes, I do all my orders custom. So I can do any medium, any size, black or white, whatever you want.
Very good.
And Kelly also has two gift certificates up in our raffle for Equine Affair in Ohio, and she'll have three in our Massachusetts raffle. So make sure you go enter the online raffle at equineaffair.com.
And anybody can do that from home. You don't have to be here.
Exactly. You don't have to be here. You enter it, and then you might win one of her gift certificates. And then if you don't get it this time, make sure you enter the Massachusetts raffle.
I did share that with my friends back home and on my webpage.
Awesome.
And I had several people text me last night that they had entered.
Yes!
Good. Very cool.
Very good.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited because we have a drive-by here. Ryan walked by, and Ryan happens to be the other half of Allison. So you're the horse husband.
I am.
Were you into horses, or did you just marry into this thing?
I was not into horses.
Allison's
not particularly.
She's not allowed to talk. She's sworn to silence here.
I'm not saying a word.
You married into it?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So we were together like something like 7 years before we got married. So I had plenty of time to get all familiar with the horsey world before I was officially joined in matrimony to the horsey world.
I got to ask you, and I ask this of every horse husband we have on, at what point did you realize I can never say it's me or the horse? Was that quickly? Did you learn that early on, or did you have to learn that the hard way?
I never really wanted to say that. I never really thought of saying that. So way back when we were dating and still in high school, she was already letting me use her horses for my movies. So So it's been a perfect match made in heaven the whole time.
So you guys have known each other forever?
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
How old? So you were 14 and I was 16 when we started.
When we met. And then I was 15.
You know, high school romances usually don't work out. Look at you guys. You are the exception.
We got married in 2012.
Yep.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, you have an interesting job. Tell us about it.
Yes. Yeah, so I produce all kinds of videos. One of the main types of videos that I create day to day is marketing videos for musical instruments.
So what does that for? I mean, people playing them, or you...
Yes. So that's everybody from like, you know, big artists that are doing arena tours to, you know, kind of individual craftsmen that are all over the country kind of making cool instruments.
Do you work for the manufacturers or do you work for the retailer or what?
I work for a distribution company, which is owned by the manufacturer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's a unique, very niche job right there.
He has also traveled to Germany and Italy to do this. He went to an accordion factory?
Yes. So the handmade accordions in Italy. So one of our big brands is Hohner, which is known for their harmonicas and accordions. And they do custom and handmade accordions in Italy in a small specialized shop in Castelfidardo. And did some documentary type coverage out there. That was a lot of fun.
That's so cool. What's the moment that you were filming that you went, I can't believe I'm here, that this is my job? Ooh. I know you've probably had a few, but what was the highlight one that really stands out?
Well, okay, so this is kind of all I've been doing and all I've wanted to do for my entire life. So, like, it's just that kind of moment every day. Probably a couple years ago, getting to go to see one of the projects I've worked on premiered in L.A. That was probably like, oh my gosh, I'm actually doing this. I'm watching work that I've done on the big screen in Hollywood.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That's fun.
That's very cool. We all have those highlight moments when you're in the artistic world.
Yes.
I still say mine was Graceland. They invited us down and we did a live horses in the morning from the barn at Graceland.
Amazing.
And they had the lady come in who took care of Elvis's horses while he was alive. She was in her 70s then. And she just told stories for an hour and a half of Elvis and the horses. So that was one of my, I mean, I had goosebumps the entire time because we were literally set up in the barn. They still have horses there. And the horses were looking at us over the stalls. That was one of the cool moments. We all have those, don't we? You probably have them from here.
I have a lot of moments like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you get to meet all the big celebrities and stuff here. And
I do. And it, you know, you sort of have to get over being nervous and just go, they're just people.
They are just people.
They're just people. Yeah. And then everything clicks along a lot easier once you realize, oh, they're just people. This is just what they do. Do you want to ask me my moment?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking? Usually anytime I'm videoing Fantasia, whether I'm with Ryan or by myself, because I have shot it by myself before, there's that moment of, oh my gosh, I'm getting paid to be here. This is my job. And then anytime I get to edit a video I'm super proud of. And by the way, he taught me everything I know about cameras and editing. So he is why I am doing what I do.
So I'm a horse husband and you're a film wife.
That's it.
There you go. Hey, that's perfect.
There's sacrifices on both sides, all right? But yeah, anytime I get to edit something really great and I feel good about it and I get to send it out into the world, like recently I edited the Best Booth Award winner from last year's video and she saw it and she said, I cried. And that was just like, all right, I've peaked. This is my peak for the year. I made somebody cry. I'll take it.
Yep. Make them laugh or cry. That's what we always say. The show's successful if somebody either laughs or cries. Or both in the same show. It's even better.
Speaking of that, you know, I was a Rennie. He was a Rennie. You're a Rennie. This is a reunion of Rennies.
I didn't know that.
We did it together.
What were you?
I was improv in the lanes. I was staged choreography, fight choreography, human chess matches, cheerleading for jousts,
okay,
and stuff like that.
I got to tell you guys, I haven't talked about this in the show yet. The listeners know that I had an acting company for 10 years. I also worked at Ren Fairs.
Yes.
We had an acting company. We did Medieval Feast, kind of a Benny Hill version of Medieval Feast. And my jesters were with me for 10 years. We did over 400 shows together. The one just passed away. So before I came up here, I went to Texas. They live right outside the Texas Renaissance Fair.
Oh,
now, that's an interesting experience because the Texas Renaissance Fair was built and so that the performers could live around it. So,
we're retiring there.
Well, wait a minute. I did find out where old campers go to die, and it's outside the Texas Renaissance Fair.
Oh.
So I went, and I forgot what hanging around with 100 Rennies was like.
Did you forget what it smelled like, too?
Oh, my God. I was so high by the end of the day. And this was at a celebration of life, you know?
Right.
But it was so good to see my jester. And as soon as he saw me, he burst into tears and came running up and gave me a hug. And we talked for 45 minutes about the old days. And wow. His wife, of course, was a jester, too. And so it was really nice to hang out with some Rennies for a day, but I had forgotten what it was like.
Yeah.
Those relationships really last forever.
We could have done a show that day on the stage and it would have been a click. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just it is a special thing being an entertainer.
Yeah. It's really special.
Ryan, it was so good. I'm glad
somebody
came by.
This Yay! Was totally unexpected and a lot of fun.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, that was so much fun meeting your husband. He's such a cool guy.
I think so. But
I see why you two get along. I see why it happens. And he is a neat guy. I could hang out with him all day. Then we're going to talk to, I always look for the booths that have the most unique things that I haven't seen before in the horse world. And there was a booth at the very back, I mean, kind of hiding back there. And I saw it and was like, that's a cool gift idea. And I talked to Teresa, and I talked her into doing an interview. So we did this interview on my phone back in the back of the building. So here it is. Well, I am here with Teresa, and she has a cool booth called Stained Glass Photo. And I love new things for the horse world. And I love especially new gifty things because we just don't have enough of them.
Awesome.
Explain what your product is.
Sure.
It's so cool.
Yes. So Stained Glass Photo is available online. It's a website. It's stainedglassphoto.com. and you take your picture, whatever picture you really want to use, and you pick your frame, and we print your photo on a piece of glass. We have 8x10, and we also have 16x20, and we ship them to you. It comes with holes in the top, so if you and a chain, so if you want to put it in a window.
And most
you
people
can.
Obviously hang stained glass stuff in a window,
yes.
Because then you get that effect coming through. And
yes,
it's, but the picture's there, and it gets the light comes through it.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful way to capture your memory, and whether it be with your horse or with your dog or family photo. And you can use them for anything, but they're really beautiful with horse photos.
It is really cool. I love this.
Thank you.
Where can they find it?
StainedGlassPhoto.com.
And can you give a price range? What?
Yeah, absolutely. They run from $80 to $109.
But it was a great Christmas gift or birthday gift.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's so very special. Yeah.
It's very cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Glenn.
Next up, one of the real things I like about coming to these events is we meet old friends. And I met this person one of the first shows we ever did 16 years ago. And she's been a good friend ever since. She comes on the show all the time to give us reports from all the big events because she's one of the cool kids and gets to go to all the big events. And that's Diana DeRosa. Hi, Diana.
Hi. So happy to be with you again and see you again here in Columbus, Ohio.
We met maybe at Rolex / Land Rover / maybe. I think that's where we might have met it the first time.
Yes, yeah. The very first time, definitely. That's where it was.
I think I stopped her and said, your camera's way more than you do. I mean,
that's true.
She walks around there with 100 pounds of cameras, and she weighs like 80 pounds. I mean, I think it's literally the first thing we talked about.
Oh, and that's always the thing I think about. I am trying to go mirrorless now because the mirrorless cameras are lighter weight, and I am just getting tired of those heavy-duty cameras. Yeah. So.
Well, and none of us are getting younger either, Diana.
You got major arm muscles, though, so.
So I have to ask you, you've covered every Olympics for the horse world here, like 7 or 8 of them.
Actually, this year is going to be my 10th Olympic Games in Paris.
You're going?
24.
That was my question.
I am going.
Yay!
Yes. I'm
Congratulations.
Yay. This year wasn't easy to get press passes either.
It was really
the
tough.
The French don't like us.
It was just really tough. It's not anything like that, but it's because everybody wants to go to Paris. Nobody really cared about Tokyo. It
right.
was during COVID.
Yeah.
They weren't that concerned. So getting credentials and getting there was really, really tough. But Paris, everyone wants to go. And it was just hard for them to delineate, okay, who am I going to let go and who I'm not going to let go and give credentials to. So I got on the second tier, was lucky to get a credential. Still
Yay!
Trying
Yay!
To switch that credential to a photo credential because it's one for writing. But I'll figure it out no matter what it is.
But now, so are we going to get live reports from France?
Absolutely, of course.
Yay!
We're going to speak, yes.
Yay. And you work with what company now?
My own company is PressLink, but I work with the Equus Television Network. And I have to tell you, it's one of those dream jobs that you've always wished that you would have because it uses all my skills. You know, I'm not just a photographer, I'm not just a videographer, I'm not just a person who interviews, I'm not just a writer, I'm a PR person. I'm all those things, and I can use all those skills.
And you're an interviewer. You do interviews.
Absolutely.
And she does a great job.
Welcome to my world, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this the third equine affair that Equus TV has been at?
It absolutely is.
It is.
And we love it. And it's always great. And it's always great to wander around and see all the people. And yesterday I did a slideshow sort of presentation of the booths.
Awesome.
And it was like, okay, let you people see the booths. And today I was thinking about the people, people of Equine Affair.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that we get to see you on a regular basis and that you join us on a regular basis. And we do appreciate you coming on with us for literally the last 14 years on this show. One of your first appearances, probably our first year.
Yes,
that
times. And I want to share one cool thing about the Olympic Games. Some of your people may know and some may not. We will probably be, meaning the equestrian sports, probably be the ones that are most loved because we're right in front of the Palais de Versailles, which they say here, Palace of Versailles. And it's the backdrop, the gorgeous.
Wow.
And it's going to be by the river and, everything's going to be pretty compact, but it's going to be one of the most beautiful backdrops.
Which means NBC might cover it more. might give us more hours.
Please, please.
Of coverage. Well, that'll
be terrific.
You've
got to make that a photo credit for yourself. You got to get that photo credential.
Absolutely.
That's to die for.
I guess I want to be able to get those pictures.
Yes.
It's going to be for my portfolio, absolutely. So
be
I'm
stunning.
Trying. I'm actually going to, next week, right from here, I'm driving to New York City for the Olympic Summit. It's the USA Team Olympic Summit, where all of the athletes come in from the United States. So I'm going to actually be prepping ahead of time.
And when does it start? Is it August or July?
It's actually in July. I'm actually flying or going to arrive there on July 24th, flying out the 9 of the 23rd. And then it ends, I believe, on the 11th. But for the Olympics, for the equestrian, it ends on the 6th. And so I leave on the 7th.
Okay. So I met you at Rolex, right? And I know you cover jumping and dressage as well. You do for photography for everybody. Is eventing still your favorite cross country?
I don't know that eventing is my favorite. I think show jumping and dressage are my favorite. And the reason is because eventing, it's so hard to do that. You know, you want to catch all those jumps, and to go from jump to jump is really difficult. So you sort
especially
of
when you're carrying 100 pounds of gear.
Yeah, yes. You sort of master that and really get, and you know, yeah, the younger you are, the more you can run around, but you know.
You know, we really need to invent the hoverboard, like from Back to the Future, specifically for photographers on the cross-country course.
That's yeah.
And then you just have to learn to surf the air with your camera.
Or a golf cart. Just take me from jump
well,
to jump with
you.
A golf cart.
Okay, well, I was hoping for hoverboard,
yes.
But all right,
yes.
Diana, a golf cart.
I remember the jet setter days.
I know I've asked you this before. We have a lot of new listeners. What Olympics has been your favorite so far?
I would have to say Korea, my very first
Korea,
one.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, in 1988, you figure 4 years in between, and I was, like, overwhelmed that I'd actually be going to an Olympic Games, and I was so new to everything and traveling that far. I mean, I've traveled a lot, but still, Korea was a far one, and it was just a memory of seeing it and covering it and learning about what it's like to cover an Olympic Games and realizing it's not easy and you get no sleep. And
now I've heard from other people that they thought Korea was the best run one too. That
yeah, Korea was different, and you came in and you had beautiful colors as soon as you arrived. It was just a different life, a different revelation, you know, for somebody that came from the United States. It was wonderful.
Which was the Olympics has had the best food?
You know, that's not a question you would ask me.
Okay.
Because I'm the one that goes and doesn't ever go out to eat or doesn't ever do any. I just try to go to a supermarket or something if I can and pick up things that I can eat quickly because, you know, what's most important to me is not the food. It's getting some sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Sleep is key.
You're editing or shooting. One of the two.
You're so exhausted. You know, many times you only get about 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night. And with 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, that really, you know, you get home and then you have 14 hours of sleep that first day when you get home because it is so exhausting. People always want to be able to cover an Olympic Games until they do it. And then they realize, I've had people say to me, you know, it's yours from now on. You can cover for me because...
You take it.
Yeah, it's not that easy. But for me, it's wonderful because I have these great memories. I can see the pictures and remember being there. It's just such a wonderful memory.
Well, I can't wait to watch it this year and to get your reports.
Yeah.
What's your website again?
My website is dianaderosa.com, and it shows pictures that I've taken over these many years because it started way back when.
Yeah. And then, of course, Equus TV.
EquusTelevision.net.
Thank
and you
Diana.
Can see me there. Just put in my name, and you'll see me all the interviews I do.
Well, I have Samantha here, and she is with the Young Guns Drill Team. And you guys, this is like your third year here?
I think so. Maybe longer, but...
How long have you been with Young Guns?
I've been on the team. This is my sixth year. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. So how old were you when you started?
I was about 12, 13, somewhere around there.
Oh, really?
I'm 19 now.
Yeah?
So.
Well, that's great. So tell us about the drill team. What do you guys do?
We do a whole bunch of maneuvers like circles, figure eights, boxes at a really fast speed, and we carry American flags while we do it.
And you do a lot of rodeos and events like this?
Yes.
What's your favorite things to do?
I like it all, honestly.
Yeah?
It's just such a blast being out there. I love it.
Does any of the group do trick riding at all?
Actually, my sister, she's using my horse to do trick riding, but she doesn't do it while we're out doing the drill team. So me and my sister are trying to get into it.
Yeah.
But Not anymore. We used to hippodrome while we leave, but everybody's getting too old. They can't handle it.
So tell us about your horse.
His name is Skippy, and I've had him for about 4 years. Before I bought him, I was on a trail ride one day with one of my friends, and he actually bucked me off and broke my hip.
Oh, no.
But horses can have bad days, and I turned around and I still bought him, and I wouldn't trade him for the world. I love him so much.
Oh, my God. You bought him even after you broke your hip?
Yep. Yeah.
That's love at first sight right
yep.
there.
I wouldn't trade him for anything, though.
And you've had him ever since?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've had him for about 4 years now.
Do you compete at all?
We do a lot of ranch riding, and we're trying to get into the English world, but I'm a Western
oh, really?
Girl, so, you know.
Yeah. So not going well?
I mean, it is, but I got a lot to learn still. A lot.
What do you want to do on the English side?
I want to get into jumping, but he isn't really a fan of jumps, so right now we're just doing flat work, and then we're working on cross rails, and then we'll move up from there.
Yay, good for you to branch
yep.
out.
Yep.
I think we're seeing a lot more of that English-Western crossover.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually think ranch riding is part of the obstacle course ride, you know, competitions also.
Yeah.
A
mm-hmm.
lot of English riders are getting into obstacle course competitions, so I think we're seeing more. Do any of the other girls on the team ride English?
Quite a few, honestly.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, where can they find you? Do you have a website?
We have a Facebook page. Look up Young Guns Drill Team, and you'll find us on there. And then we have an Instagram page as well.
Are you riding in Fantasia, too?
Yes,
we are. All right. Well, then we'll see you tomorrow night.
All righty.
All right. Thanks, man.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye. Well, that was fun. It's always fun to talk to people from here. We'll have a bunch more people for you for the next couple of days. But for people that are here and are listening to this afternoon, what are you telling them to do tonight, tomorrow, Sunday?
We've got all kinds of great stuff happening this weekend, especially because it's our 30th anniversary. So, I mean, it's all your favorite things like clinics and that sort of thing. But you guys have heard me talk about Cowtown and Cooper. It is finally here. Today's the first day of the Cowtown and Cooper clinics. So if you're here, go over to the Cooper Arena all day today, all day tomorrow, and watch them work with cows. I mean, we've got cows on the grounds because of Christy, May, and Dave. They brought their cattle, and that's going to be awesome to watch. That's sponsored by Western Life Today, so we love that. And then we have stagecoach rides offered by, again, Christy May's dad.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's here
yeah.
with his giant Percherons and a stagecoach, and those are happening from 12 to 4 p.m. every single day. So you can go on a ride around the parking lot pulled by Percherons. It's amazing. And then this is something that you guys can do while you're here, or you can do at home, but go to Facebook, go to the Equine Affair Facebook, and vote in the Best Booth Award contest. So we've got five finalists,
you have pictures posted up there?
We have pictures
yeah.
posted. They all have a little Best Booth finalist badge on them. We've got Rod's Western Palace, Wooden Sunflower Primitives, the USTA booth with the cool virtual reality thing we were talking about earlier, Rachel P. Artistry, and then Horse Haven Stables. They've got great booths. So go vote. The way that you vote is you find the picture of the one you like, and you click like, or you comment the name.
And that's on the Facebook page for Equine Affair.
That's right, at Equine Affair.
Is that the best place to follow along at home? You're going to be doing interviews and things?
It is. That's the best place. You should also go to Equus Television, where we were just talking to Diana. They're doing interviews and putting them up same day. And then, of course, you've got our episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you can follow along just like you're here. The only thing you're not going to be able to do is spend all the money. So you're
well, and for some people that might be a good thing.
I do see a lot yeah. of bags walking around today,
yes.
a lot more than yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody last night was talking at dinner about what they were going to buy and what they're looking for. We are going to do a post show here, auditors. We're going to do a short one. And let's just say the competition will begin in the post show. We have something fun planned for you that was kind of unexpected. So we're going to do that in the post show. So auditors, hang on for that. Of course, you can just look for the episodes this weekend on the Horses in the Morning feed or wherever you normally listen to this show. And equineaffair.com is where you go to find out all the details there. And if you're coming, I look forward to visiting with you and seeing you. Just stop by the booth. We're at booth number 207. We're actually right inside the Bricker doors, right behind the Equine Affair booth. So that's where you'll find us. Thank you, Allison, for putting all this together. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know you're going to run your legs off the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. So. This is my rest period.
All right, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow.